Just a handful of weeks ago, Bangarra Dance Theatre became the first ever company to win the prestigious Golden Lion Award for Lifetime Achievement in Dance at the International Dance Festival, Venice Danza. More than that, this win marked the first time a First Nations person or company has been honoured with the award, and was the first win for Australia. A Golden Lion is an incredible achievement, one that's often likened to an actor winning an Oscar or an athlete taking home a gold medal from the Olympics. So when artistic director Frances Rings and her predecessor Stephen Page found out Bangarra had won, they were delighted.
You know, for Stephen and I, it's never about the individual. It's always about we do things as a clan and we do things very collaboratively. And, you know, whether it be how we research our stories or work with the dancers, we're only a small company, but we have a lot of work to do. For me, it's, you know, because we haven't been to Europe for many years and, you know, it's easy to kind of think that what we do here in Australia maybe isn't reaching across the globe. But this is really validating, you know, and heartening to know that the impact of our work stretches across and has been recognised across the globe.
Although Frances was quick to point out that the honour is one shared by the community of creatives and cultural practitioners who've contributed to the company over its 37 years. But before Bangarra head to Venice, Italy to accept the honour, they've got a new production set to open much closer to home. Flora is a landmark collaboration between Bangarra and the Australian Ballet Company. Although the companies have joined forces before, Flora is the first full-length work. And for Frances, who's choreographed this dance extravaganza, that history of collaboration is one that's deeply tied to her own history as a dancer. Having performed in one of those early collaborations in 1997.
That's such an important memory for me because it was a turning point, actually. You know, and a real game changer, not only for Bangarra and the Australian Ballet, but for industry, that two really different, unique companies, both steeped in tradition, one from Europe and the other one from Australia, that were coming together to share the stage and share story and to share this experience of exploring Igor Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. And this was the vision of Stephen Page, who was our artistic director. It was 1997, so, you know, it was the lead up to the Olympics, so Bangarra was incredibly busy. We had a lot of success. Stephen's work, Stephen Page and Bernadette Wallong's seminal work, Ochres, had really risen, you know, our profile to a mainstream level. So people were looking at us and people were paying attention and audiences were coming to see, you know, what does this company do? And I think for Stephen and his vision, he was, you know, Stephen's such a visionary. We know that his aspirations were about how do we elevate Bangarra to be, you know, seen just as equally as other mainstream companies. So he'd done some work. He'd actually choreographed a work called Alchemy the year before on the Australian Ballet. And then the opportunity came up to bring the companies together for rights. And I remember just being there for that first day of rehearsals. And, you know, Stephen did try to prepare us and like, you know, it's different. We have to find a meeting place. We have to move through maybe the discomfort of being so familiar with our own way of telling stories and our own language and movement vocabulary and make space to kind of incorporate what they have to offer and what does that mean? I guess it's a bit like reconciliation, but without that kind of, you know, without using, that's such an awful term to use, but it was how do we reconcile our own identities to come together to find a shared voice? Yeah. That's much better way of explaining it.
I know what you mean though, yeah.
Yeah, so My first memory was just we had, you know, our incredible cultural leader, Jakapura Manyayan, who was in the work and held this incredible space for each of the companies. He played Yiraki and we were all, you know, he sung a song. And I think you could have, like, there was just silence, that first meeting, that first observation and that first kind of surrender. What's the introduction? How are we going to bridge this incredible gulf between not only our two companies, but we were representing Australia, basically. And, you know, how those communities were very separate. So having Jakapura there and having him guide us through that process and through those difficult moments and to hear his voice and just completely surrender to that and go, okay, he's going to guide us. And both sides were feeling that. And then it was like, okay, let's just do this. And I guess you kind of, you know, at the end of the day, it's about storytelling. We train our whole lives to tell a story. Dancers work incredibly hard to refine their bodies, to become prime athletes, to become the storytellers, to do research, to be really committed to inhabiting roles and transforming once they're on stage and taking the audience on that journey. And we both understood that from an artistic perspective. But yeah, it was that memory of Jakapura guiding us through that kind of unknown, his voice and him playing Yiraki to just kind of, yeah, give us that opportunity to let go and step into this story.
It's really interesting to hear you talk about the significance of Jakapura in that first true collaboration between the two companies, because for Flora, you've got another incredible songman as part of your creative team, William Barton. Was that in your mind? Like, were you thinking about sort of the importance of?
I think for the Flora will be the first full-length collaboration between Bangara and the ballet. Both David and I knew that we needed to make sure that that creative team really came with the skills that were going to meet the expectation of what we wanted from the work and the significance of it. And, you know, William, he's an incredible artist. He is so unique in many ways and he's just so generous with the way that he sees what he does, much like Jakapura, as that place to bring those traditions together and to create a shared language. He's prolific. He travels all over the world and has these experiences of bringing his incredible cultural essence and story. He's also trained in classical music as well. So not only does he play Yiraki and he sings and plays numerous other instruments, but is also a composer, writes scores and works with orchestras all over the world. So, you know, he was up for the challenge. This is something that he's like been waiting for as well. So yeah, when we had that that first discussion, he was like, yeah, sister, I'm on board. And I think at times, you know, it's an intimidating space. It's going to be a first for me. I haven't had a work performed with a live orchestra before. When I first heard like the MIDI format, which is like a, you know, a computer program that represents the score in an electronic form, and, you know, doesn't have the melody and all the beautiful nuance of like a live orchestra. And I was terrified. And I was like, I don't think I can do this. I think it's beyond me. And I actually don't know how I'm going to work with this in the studio. So the ballet were very generous. William was very generous at just kind of like, it's going to sound better. It's just, it's in a code at the moment, but trust me, it'll be amazing. So I think once you kind of take on, I had to, like, you know, educate myself, you know, about a whole, you know, things I didn't know about because I hadn't, that hadn't been a part of my experience before. But I love it now, you know. It's really great. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for an opera now.
Well, I was going to say, like, every time I sit down to talk to you about a new Bangara work, you always seem to be challenging yourself in a new area. You really seem to be someone who enjoys testing your own limits.
I think I'm just ready for it now. And this role, you know, has probably awakened like some little, I don't know, this, I mean, have I dreamed about doing this in the past? Yeah, absolutely. I think as, you know, as an artist, you have these aspirations of goals that you want to tick off. But it's all about timing as well. I don't think William would have been ready earlier on. I don't think I would have been ready. I don't think some of our creatives nor our companies would have been ready. So it's all about timing and knowing when it's right. And, you know, this kind of naturally came when we initially started the discussions, David Holberg, the artistic director of the Australian Ballet, and myself. The first discussions were around just kind of meeting each other and having a yarn and talking about the history between the companies. And, you know, this was pre-referendum. He was in awe. He was of in awe of, you know, First Nations people and our relationship with country and with our communities and the way we tell our stories. He loved Bangara and, you know, it was like nothing that he'd ever seen before as well. So, and really interested about the history. And he's a very curious person. So I said, you know, if there's any questions that you have at all at any time, you know that it's a safe place and, you know, you can reach out to us because it can be a minefield, you know. He had his own aspirations and goals. So both kind of internally, you know, what you want to do with the company and setting up how we grow, growing our awareness, our cultural competency, our engagement with community and acknowledgements, and also just, you know, how we program as well. So we talked extensively about that, which kind of led to, and I was probably a little bit cheeky and kind of said, so what is in the future? Is there another kind of rights? Is there something else in there? And we're like, well, possibly there could be something. And we're both keen to explore it. The referendum came and went and I was kind of fired up a little bit. And I said, we have to do this. We have to reach out to each other's audiences. We have to use that platform as a moment of change. We haven't done enough. I felt disappointed in myself and I felt disappointed that I didn't have a better awareness of what the other side of Australia thought about First Nations people, history and futures. So I was like, well, we got to do more. We're preaching to the converted when we, you know, perform in our, with our own audiences. And And while I love that and I love the loyalty and I love that we take them on a journey, it also was like we've got to step outside of our comfort zone and we've got to reach a different audience and we have to bring them into our world to see it from our perspective and to feel what First Nations worldviews mean. So it's always about the platform that you have. And as a leader, you have to strategize that. You're responsible for that. So, yeah, I said, David, we need to do this. Like, we have to tell this story together. It doesn't have to be about, well, it does have to be about truth-telling, but it can also be about beauty. It can also be about celebrating this unique diversity of flora that we have. But also there's an important message there that over 3,000 species of plants in our country are on the threatened species list. And we already have some that are extinct. There is a purpose behind everything we do at Bangara. And if we have an opportunity to get that message wider and to do that authentically, with integrity and in the right spirit, then, you know, we're willing to share that to get that story out there.
Yeah. On a very practical level, you've got 16 Bangara dancers, 19 Australian ballet dancers, 35 people to wrangle. Frances, that's a lot.
Honestly, Rudy, it's chaotic. Oh, my God. Yesterday, at the end of the day, I was like, oh, my God, what am I doing? What have I put myself in? And Karen Norris, the amazing Moriori woman who was our lighting designer, and she just looked at me and she's like, wow, are you okay? It's like, I don't know, but that was a lot. You know, there is method to the madness, mm-hmm. and within that chaos, there's gold. You know, with our storytelling, there's our shadow stories. So, you know, that's always simmering on the edges because we know the outcome. We know that within the themes of our work, we are still experiencing the effects and the trauma of colonization. Whether people want to accept that or not, it's a reality. And you only have to visit our communities to see that. And you only have to look at the closing the gap statistics to see that.
I've managed to kind of ask you a whole lot of questions without actually digging into what flora is. Plants hold a deep cultural significance for mob as well as practical applications. So how does the choreographic work of flora explore those ideas?
We share a kinship with our plants, with our flora. They hold a deep cultural significance. They nourish us. They are indicators for seasonal change. And, you know, being indicators, that ensures survival and knowledge. They are used for our expressions, for our ceremonies, for tools, transportation, for shelter. There are so many uses for the flora that we are connected to. Flora to me was about how do we celebrate this incredible relationship that we have, and how do we share that incredible relationship that we have with flora as kin, and also highlight that, you know, this unique diversity of incredible plants are threatened. You know, we are at a climate emergency. There are important messages that we need to share and that we need to tell. Flora and First Nations people also share the impact of colonization. So it's through the lens of flora as well that we're able to not only look back at that impact and trace that from first contact, you know, when Joseph Banks stepped ashore and, you know, was collecting those plant specimens to take back that are still housed in the British Museum, but also that, you know, the impact of, you know, colonization is still affects us deeply. The repatriation and the care for our natural environments, that's priority for us, you know. So it's this journey. It celebrates the beauty, the uniqueness of what flora symbolises to us, but also a parallel journey of what the impact of colonisation has done to flora and to people.
For a collaboration like this between two major companies, you're going to have some people that are seeing Bangara for the first time. You're also going to have some people that are seeing the Australian Ballet for the first time. How conscious are you of the kind of dual introduction that you're having to choreograph?
Yeah, I am really conscious because, you know, the music is different. The costumes are different. We have an incredible creative team for this. That some of them I've worked with before. I mentioned Karen Norris, who has done the lighting for many of my works. Elizabeth Gadsby, who was our set designer, and she designed the first work that I did as artistic director titled Uldia. And I have incredible knowledge and cultural support from Matthew Doyle, Murawai man, who has been closely connected to Bangarra for many years. But designing the costumes, Miriam Samset woman, Grace Lillian Lee, who is, you know, she is just an incredible designer who is just on the rise. Paris Fashion Week, you know, and just, you know, she's an incredible designer. She is costume designer for the work. She is renowned for her intricate weaving that has been passed on to her from her elders in the Torres Strait Islands. And also kind of, you know, works in the same way as Bangarra of how do we transform those traditions that have been passed on to us and share them in a contemporary medium whilst also expressing an important message. So, yeah, it's incredible to work with her. She's designed the most fantastic costumes. And also she's been supported by Jennifer Irwin, who is iconic and has done many of our costumes. So it's great to have Jen back in the studio and working with us. And, of course, William and the orchestra. So, you know, for a lot of our regular, you know, Bangarra supporters and they'll see us in a completely, well, not completely different. The language is there, you know, but it is different. You know, we've got an orchestra. There are sounds that are different to, you know, how we usually kind of, we usually have a soundscape that is very contemporary and, but this is, you know, a meeting place of traditions. And I think it's, you know, it's exciting. I'm kind of nervous about, you know, what our our regular supporters and audiences will think, but I hope that they will see that the culmination of all of these incredible designers and their vision alongside our amazing dancers and the music, and that they'll accept that this is something that will be different to our usual works. But just as strong, as strong and just as powerful, and just trust us and go along with it. Yeah. Mm. For the ballet audience, I hope that they open their hearts and their minds to our First Nations stories, to our messages, to our worldviews, that they see the beauty of what our stories are, but they also, more importantly, at the centre of that is an important message about country, about caring for that and how that is everybody's responsibility.
That was Frances Rings, Artistic Director of Bangarra Dance Theatre and the choreographer behind Bangarra's first ever full-length collaboration with the Australian Ballet. It's called Flora and you can see it in Melbourne now until the 21st of March at the Regent Theatre. After that, it'll head to the Sydney Opera House from the 7th to the 18th of April. I'll pop those dates on Away's show page.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.